The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Boker Tov, yeah, Thursday, hot Thursday, as opposed to throwback Thursday.
Right.
So we're preparing for the weekend and preparing for some very summery weather.
Right. You know, we're getting ready for summery weather because, you know, we've decided that the 1st of August is spring. So, yeah, we're only really just a week away from nice warmer weather. So that's great for us too. Okay, with only 1 week to go before the final list have to be submitted ahead of the September election in Israel, there are many activities surrounding the possible combining parties into a single list to run together on both sides of the spectrum. What are the likely pairings or options that we might be seeing?
Well, just this morning it's been announced that Ehud Barak's new party, Democratic Israel, is teaming up with Meretz. And Meretz is probably the most left-wing of the left-wing parties, sits probably on the left side of the Labour Party. Barak, of course, we will recall, was the Prime Minister and represented the Labour Party at that time. He's now teaming his new party up with Meretz. And it's quite an interesting arrangement because along with the arrangement that's been struck with Meretz, they've also managed to attract Stav Shafir, who is a former Labour Party member and who left the party in a somewhat disgruntled manner. And so Stav Shafir has now moved over to join this new grouping. And the way that it's going to work is that the Meretz leader will take the top spot on the list. He will be the first person, Nitzan Horovitz, he will be the first person on the list. And one would always expect the biggest name and the biggest personality to be first on the list, which in this case would have been Barak, we would have expected. But that's actually not the case. It's going to be Nitzan Horovitz. And then Stav Shafir is going to be second on the list. And Ehud Barak's name appears only in 10th position, which effectively means he is not going to be elected to the Knesset. So he has established this new party for the Democratic Israel Party. And he has joined up with Meretz to run together, hoping that they will be able to solicit more seats in the Knesset together than each of them would be able to do individually. And yet he himself has not put himself forward for the Knesset. But instead, what has been agreed is that if this new combined list does join the governing coalition, that the first person to get a ministerial job will be Barak.
Right.
So what he's effectively saying is that he doesn't want to be bothered with all the day-to-day kind of dirty work of being a member of Knesset. That's not for him. He's kind of past that stuff now. He wants the limelight. And if there are going to be cabinet posts available, he's going to be the guy who's going to receive the cabinet post. So that's quite an interesting approach and a very different approach from the usual one that we see where these teams are put together, where the lists are parties are combined onto a single list. And it's going to be interesting to see how much support they will be able to get together in the election. Whether, you know, in fact, it will be more support in a combined manner than was the case, than would have been the case if they had each run separately. And so, you know, that one everybody's watching. But of course, in addition to that, we're also watching things, on the right side of Parliament. By the way, just to put things into perspective, Meretz, just to go back to the original point, Meretz actually managed to solicit 4 seats in the last election earlier this year. So they really just squeaked over the line in terms of earning the minimum number of seats. 3% is the minimum required, and they earned 3.6%. So they were just over the line getting 4 seats. Now, on the right-hand side, there have been all sorts of reports about Prime Minister Netanyahu trying to keep the right camp separated. So we had this discussion the other day about the fact that the right camp and Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked had swapped positions in the new right party, and that Ayelet Shaked potentially would be leading this right-wing grouping, which could potentially include the old Bayt HaYehud party, and it could potentially include other parties as well into a single list. That, at the moment, at least as of now, has not yet transpired. And instead, what Prime Minister Netanyahu has tried to do has actually apparently offered ministerial posts in the next government to certain people within the Bayt HaYehud party in return for not joining up with Ayelet Shaked's new right party. So he's trying to keep the right wing split, and not going to allow them to combine together, because it seems as if though he views that as a greater risk to the Likud and to the number of seats that the Likud may be able to win in the next election, right, if indeed they get together. I'm still not convinced that they won't get together. I think that Rafi Peretz has understood that his position has been weakened, and that the best way for him to secure any position at all in the Knesset of any meaning is potentially to get together with Ayelet Shaked. And he certainly made clear that he is willing to talk to Ayelet Shaked about the possibility of combining lists in order to run together. That hasn't happened yet, and we've got another week. The lists have got to be finalized by the next week on Thursday. So there is another week, and a week in politics is a very long time. So my understanding, my expectation of things at the moment is that they are probably more likely to join up than not to join up. But, of course, that's as things stand today, and who knows what will be tomorrow. So there's still going to be a lot of, I think, interesting things happening between now and next week on Thursday when the finalists are put together. And, of course, we will be talking about a lot more next week.
We will indeed. Anthony, before we go on to our next story, I want to ask our listeners on 34519 or 061-895-1019. Don't look it up, because Anthony and I are going to speak about it in just a moment. Which brand, what do you think the top brand in Israel is for 2019? It doesn't need to be an Israeli brand. It's an international brand. What do you think the top ranked brand in Israel is for 2019? All right. Whilst people give us their thoughts on that on 34519 or 061-895-1019, I just wanted to ask you about Israeli security services uncovering an attempt by Iran to build a huge spy ring in Israel. Tell us, what information is available to us around this?
So what we've been told is that the Shin Bet, which is the internal security agency in Israel, revealed yesterday that over the past few months, they've been working in joint operations with the Israeli police and the IDF in order to gather information about what is being described as a fairly comprehensive information gathering network in Israel, not only within Israel, but also within the Palestinian Authority area, and of course within Gaza as well. And this is a network that has been directed by Iranian operatives who've been working from Syria, and led by a Syrian front group called Abu Jihad, which is a name that kind of sounds very familiar to, similar to many names that we've heard in the past. But what they've tried to do is they've tried to recruit, they're focused on the Arab community living in Israel, living in Gaza, living in the Palestinian Authority area. And they've tried to do so over social media using fictitious Facebook profiles, and then creating communications with these individuals in order to somehow gain information about military bases, about sensitive security installations in Israel, about security personnel, police stations, hospitals, anything that they might wish to know about within the borders of Israel. And, of course, we need to bear in mind that Iran has a very sophisticated intelligence gathering capability, including satellites. And, of course, now they're trying to work on the ground using social media. Who knows what they might be doing using Google Maps and applications like that in order to get information, that whatever they can. Excuse me. All.
Hi, Anthony, are you... I wish I could offer you a glass of water, but you're a little bit further away.
I grabbed a glass of water. I'm back. Sorry, a bit of a choke, but I'm back with you. So the idea of this information gathering network is, of course, all to somehow get as much information as they can in order to potentially carry out attacks against Israel. And that, of course, is the concern. So the good news is that the Shin Bet are on them. One of the capabilities that the Shin Bet has delivered, and indeed the Mossad has developed significantly over the past few years, is, of course, cyber capabilities, the ability to go in and monitor things that are happening on social media, on the social networks, in order to try and somehow see and keep track of the intelligence gathering that is going on, not only from Iran, by the way, but from other groups as well. Many of them are Iranian groups or linked to Iran in some way, but Iran themselves are very, very active on social media, very active in the cyber world in trying to gather information. And of course, Israel has a real dilemma where that's concerned, because traditionally on the technology side, on the cyber side, on the social networking side, Israelis are very active, very developed, very vocal. People are using it a lot, and therein lies a risk, because the more, of course, you're using social media, the more information you're sending around, the more people who shouldn't be getting that information, or Israel would prefer not to get that information, are able to get it. And so there is a certain double-edged sword about Israel's security development, and there is a certain paranoia about cybersecurity, and that's why, you know, the cybersecurity field is so highly developed in Israel, because when you look at the security services, when you look at the IDF and the cybersecurity that they are employing in order to avoid sensitive information going out to Iran and its proxies, there is a little surprise that some of that technology and that capability is going out into the broader world and being used in industry. So a good find by the Shin Bet on this occasion, but certainly not the last one, and I'm sure that there'll be plenty more attempts of this nature in order to get more information from Israelis via the social security, by social media.
Absolutely. And finally, this company has been ranked as Israel's top brand for 2019. Nobody getting it right. Anthony, which company is it?
Well, let's start by saying that traditionally, over many years, Coca-Cola, Google.
So those are the answers that we're getting. Those are the answers that we're getting. Coca-Cola,
yeah,
Google.
They were the ones.
And if you had asked me, I would have said Coca-Cola without any question.
Okay. And you know, that would be a very, very good guess, but unfortunately in 2019, that's wrong. In fact, it is Netflix. Netflix has taken Israel by storm. And if you believe some of the information that we're being fed about the number of users that Netflix has in Israel, then that could be as many as 500,000 people in Israel using Netflix. Now, it's a relatively new introduction to Israel, and that's why this is something of a surprise that people have not expected this. But Netflix is on everybody's lips. Everybody's using it. Israelis are crazy about streaming and downloading, and of course Netflix is a legitimate and legal way to go about doing exactly that. With the massive infrastructure that we have in internet and the ease with which we're able to do the downloading and do the streaming, Netflix is an obvious choice. And in fact, Netflix has been sold as a bundle along with other television bundles that are being sold. For example, the traditional TV providers, whether they are, we've got a number in Israel, Hot, or we have Yes, or we have now the telecom companies that are getting into the TV game, Partner Cellcom, they are selling their television packages along with a Netflix membership. So they're saying, we're going to provide you all of this content as well as an ability to get Netflix content. So they're kind of almost not even trying to compete with Netflix, but they're rather trying to combine with Netflix in order to promote their own products. And hence Netflix has become amazingly popular. Unfortunately, some of the content that you get on the international Netflix is not yet available in Israel. But one of the amazing things about Netflix, and that one of the things that people really love, is of course that they have subtitles. So where movies are not in your own home language, there are subtitles that get translated, and that's made Israeli shows so popular on Netflix elsewhere. People have watched Thistle, and people have watched other Israeli TV documentary series, movies, are able to do so now because Netflix is providing the English subtitles, and it's made Israeli shows popular abroad as well. So even though we're only just halfway through 2019, And Netflix is the big winner of the year, apparently.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Rice, this is where we love and leave you. You have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. Keep cool. We'll try and keep warm. And we will be back with you on Monday morning at 7:45. You have a great weekend. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. Here's your news with Zanati.